I had to write syllabus. This is kind of like a little mini syllabus. So I'm going to follow this. I'm not going to write it and then just start talking about everything. I'm going to stay with the little handout I gave you. So we're going to look at this. Now, this is based upon the handouts I already previously have given you. This is going to be a really fascinating study tonight. I'm sure you're going to learn some things tonight maybe you didn't know. Last week, I talked to you about the called. Now, a way a person gets saved is he's called. Now, there is a general call of the gospel. We call, tell people to repent, come to Jesus, submit to him as Savior and Lord. That's a general call. But as you know, I can do that from the pulpit on Sunday morning, and the people who are saved aren't going to come because they're already submitted to that call. Some people who aren't not saved may not come and submit to that call. It is a general call given to all mankind. We're told to make disciples of all nations. We're told to present the gospel call to every creature. Okay, so we give a general call. You're going to give a general call. You're going to, in a general way, you're going to give the general truth, the specific truth in a general way to people who are not saved. That's the general call. But as you know, people can hear the general call to salvation and not be saved. They can even hear the true content of the gospel and not be saved. That's because when a person gets saved, he gets saved by the true content of the gospel accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit. It takes both. The Holy Spirit can convict somebody of their sin. He can make them feel guilty and ashamed. He can show them a certain amount of light. But even that work of the Holy Spirit will not save them. It has to be accompanied with the gospel. That's what the Holy Spirit uses to save somebody. He takes the gospel and he penetrates the heart and brings that person to life with the gospel. So it takes both the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we call that, just so you know, the inward call. It's more, it goes beyond a general call. A general call can get to somebody's ears and never make it to his heart, right? But the inward call is when the Holy Spirit takes the gospel and goes to the heart, begins to work on a person's heart. That's the inward call. And what I shared with the church last time was, you see the church being referred to as the called all through Scripture. We looked at numerous and numerous passages of Scripture about the church being the called. Actually, the church itself in Greek is called ekklesia. We get the word ecclesiology from the study of the church. Ekklesia. Ekklesia is made up of two words. Called, out ones. Ekklesia. So when the people in the Koine Greek era of 2,000 years ago heard somebody say, oh, the ekklesia, they wouldn't have heard church. That wouldn't have been in their mind. That's our translation of the Greek word ekklesia. What they would have heard was the called out ones. They would have just said, the called out ones. And that's what the church is. It's called out ones. You've been called out from the world by the power and work of the Holy Spirit, and you've been baptized or immersed into the church. You're the called. For instance, everybody loves this verse, but listen to it a little closer as I quote it for you. For we know all things work together for good, right? To those that love God, to those who are the called, according to his purpose, right? Notice that? To those who are the called. And in the Greek, the definite article is there. It just says the called. It doesn't just say called, the called. So you see, even in that verse, the promise that God's working everything together for those that love him, to those who are the called. You see that? That's the church, the called out one. So I introduced that and established that that was a biblical doctrine that the church is the called out ones. And we went through numerous passages of Scripture. Almost all the beginning epistles start with the Church of Rome, the called. We looked at that, and that handout, the second one says the gospel call. Tonight, I want to go deeper now and show you how that call works. Now, I shared with you last time, it was a holy calling, right? We looked at that, but I want to look at tonight. So if you look at your handout, Scripture is clear that the called whom are saved is intricately connected to foreknowledge and predestination being chosen. Romans 8:28. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, what? What does the next phrase say? He also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he glorified. There is the golden link and chain of salvation. God predestines to save sinners. But how does he do it? He calls them. And when he, after he calls them, he justifies them. That's actually saving them. And then he gives them a glorified body later. See that verse there? Even in that verse, whoever God predestines to be saved, he calls them. Now, this is way beyond just a general call to come to Christ and repent of your sins. This is a specific call. This is an inward call. Look at Matthew 24:22-14. Many are called, but what? Few are chosen. And 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and what? Called us. Well, what kind of calling? A holy calling. Now, why did you do that? Because you were better than somebody else? No, not according to our works. And that was Sunday's sermon, right? But according to his own purpose and grace, which he granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. That's how you're saved. He saved us and called us with his holy calling. It had nothing to do with our works. But it was according to his own purpose and grace, which is granted us in Christ Jesus from when? Before the foundation of the world, from all eternity. It was a planned deal. And then notice Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel, our good news about Jesus Christ, did not come to you in word only. That would be the general call. It didn't just come with the audible invitation, the audible call to repentance. But it also in the power and the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You see that? It took both to save somebody. It's more than just word only. Now, the word of the cross is powerful, but it's only powerful because it's accompanied by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but the power of God. So Paul's saying, I didn't trick you. I didn't use a lot of erudition. I didn't use a lot of oratory. I didn't manipulate you. I didn't outsmart you. I didn't convince you. I didn't use peer pressure. I didn't use self-preservation. I didn't do any of that kind of psychological stuff. I just simply gave you the gospel, and the Spirit of God took that gospel and brought it to home in your heart. Okay? Now, the inward call that accompanies the audible proclamation of the gospel becomes effectual by the power of the Holy Spirit, and thus termed the effectual call. So if you read some of those books back on that table, and you may read them, they say, oh, the effectual call, this is what they're talking about. They're talking about this inward, powerful call. Notice effectual. Successful in producing a desired or intended result. It has this desired effect. So when God gives this effectual call, it is going to end in the result he wanted it to end in. He has a desire for that effectual call, and that is your salvation. That's why they call it effectual. It isn't, well, maybe the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel together can bring this person to Christ. No. When the Holy Spirit and the gospel get together, those chosen before the foundation of the world, he is going to make sure that that call goes all the way to the heart and regenerates that person. Okay? That is the effectual call. It's a powerful call. It's a holy calling. Okay? Does that make sense so far? So just to review real quickly before we turn the page. If you're sharing the gospel with somebody, now you don't know if he's one of the called. You don't know if he's one of the elect. You don't know if he's been chosen for the foundation. Well, you don't know that. He's not walking around with a sheep stamped on his forehead or elect stamped on his back. You don't know that. We're to go to share the gospel with every creature. But I can tell you, he will never get saved apart from hearing the gospel. Okay? If you share the gospel with him, the potential's there for the Holy Spirit to take that gospel and penetrate his heart and save him. And you need to know that. You know what? That takes all the pressure off of you. It's not up to you if you can cleverly enough talk this person into getting saved or make him feel bad enough about his sin or do whatever. All you have to do is just give him the simple unadulterated gospel, and that's what the Holy Spirit will use. That's his job. Your job is just to give him the news. Now, I spent two lessons on giving you the content of the gospel, so we're telling people the right thing. Now that you're telling them the right thing, I want you to know how that happens, how it goes beyond you just talking to them in an audible way, the power of the Holy Spirit working, which you can't see in that person's heart. That's the inward. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Any questions so far? Let's move on to the next page. This is the effectual inward call. It includes the general call of the gospel, but it's more and goes beyond the general call, right? It has to go beyond that. If that was the case, all I have to do is get up there and give the gospel, and everybody who's going to hear me is going to get saved. Well, we know that's not going to happen, right? It'd be nice if it did, but God will use that, but it takes more than that. But it has to have that as part of it. That is why the gospel is said to be powerful under salvation. Here's the verse in Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, is the audible call of the gospel? The content is true. And there's a certain amount of power in that because there's power in truth. But when we talk about the gospel being the power of God unto salvation, we're talking about also the work of the Holy Spirit coupled with that gospel. You see that? The power of the Holy Spirit. An audible proclamation of the gospel will not save anybody. But an audible proclamation of the gospel accompanied by the Holy Spirit can save anybody. See that? Okay. Look at C. The effectual inward call of the Holy Spirit brings the gospel truth to the heart and mind with conviction of sin and righteousness of Christ's atonement, producing repentance and faith to come to Christ for salvation. That's the desired effect. The desired effect of the Holy Spirit to bring that gospel to the heart of somebody is to produce in them repentance and faith so they will come to Christ. Let me just make a little commercial here. When we tell somebody, put your faith in Christ. Now, we know faith comes by hearing by the word of God. We know faith is a gift. But when the Holy Spirit gives that person faith as a gift, it's their faith. It's their faith. It was given to them. So if they believe, they are believing with their faith that was given to them. Now, they didn't have it. It came as a gift. But when they believe, they are believing with their faith. So you got to make sure we understand that we don't get the cart before the horse. Yeah, you are placing your faith in there, but where'd you get the faith from? Right? Get the faith from the effectual call, from the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's look at the verse. We know for by grace you've been saved through faith. God bless you. You know why people say that? Because your heart skips a beat when you sneeze. And that's the closest to death you'll come in your life. So they're like, oh, God saved you. You were blessed by God. Okay. Notice Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Right? How does that gift come? How does God give you faith? It comes with this effectual call. Notice Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. The key phrase there is, it's been granted for Christ's sake for you to believe. It was granted on behalf of Christ for you to even believe. See that? Look at Timothy 2. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. In that passage, Paul is telling Timothy how to deal with unbelievers. And he's saying, hey, you don't know. Just be gentle, correct them when they're wrong. You don't know if God may grant them repentance. Who gives the repentance? God does, but when he grants it to them, it's their repentance. You see that? When they repent, they're repenting of something that they were given. You see that? So we got to realize that the faith somebody places in Christ is their faith, but they got that faith as a gift. When somebody repents of their sin and turns to Christ, they do that because it was granted them. And how that happens is by the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit coupled with the gospel message. See that? Look at Acts 11:18. When they heard this, they were quieted down and glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted the Gentiles also repentance that leads to life." The Jews couldn't believe that the Gentiles were being saved. And the apostles got together and he said, "Well, I guess God's granting the Gentiles repentance." Why were they repenting? Why were the Gentiles repenting? Paul was going around preaching the gospel message, but why were they repenting? And Peter's going around because God had granted them repentance. How did that happen? It happened with the inward effectual call upon the heart. That makes sense? You need to know that the dynamic going on when you're sharing the gospel with somebody. Let's look at number two. The inward drawing call. It includes the gospel call accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've already established that, right? That is why the gospel, the work of the Holy Spirit, is God's grace and foreknowledge and predestining decree to draw the elect sinner to salvation in Christ. Notice these verses. This is going to set up number three. Jesus is speaking. He said, "No one can come to me unless," good thing for the unless, "the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus is clearly telling the Jews, no one can. Actually, he said before that, verse 36, "You do not believe." You don't believe. Okay? And you cannot come to me. But then he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So nobody can be saved. Nobody can actually come to Christ and believe and repent and be regenerated and be saved from their sins and be saved from hell unless the Father who sent Christ draws him. Now we just introduced a new word, this word draw. Notice verse 37. "All the Father gives to me will come to me." Not maybe come to me, might come to me, will come to me. "And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." And verse 65. "And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you, that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father." Now we're looking at, this is sovereign grace. This is God dispensing grace and mercy as he chooses, as Romans 9 says. God doesn't have to give grace and mercy to anybody, right? Grace is unmerited favor, so it's undeserved. Now, what I want to do now is I want to zero in on this drawing call. Look at number 3A. The drawing call of salvation includes the gospel, of course. Look at what Jesus said, John 12:32. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." That doesn't mean that if we lift up Jesus, everybody in earshot of that is going to be drawn to Christ to be saved. Okay? It means if he's lifted up from the earth, in other words, that he's presented in the gospel for dying on the cross, that the Holy Spirit will draw all kinds of men, all different men, men from all over the face of the earth, no matter age or race, color, all kinds of men. It doesn't mean if he lifted up that everybody's going to say that'd be universalism. We don't teach universalism. All is a limitation of an unlimited phrase. So I'll just make a little commercial here. It's a limitation of an unlimited phrase. If I said, "I love all kinds of food," that would be a limit. That would say I love all kinds of food. If I said, "I love all kinds of food that my wife makes," I've just defined the word "all," right? So every time you see the word "all" in the Bible, it doesn't necessarily mean all. You have to find how all is defined, okay? All right, that's a good question. But let me draw this attention to this drawing call. Look at B. And all kinds of people get saved, right? We know that. We know all kinds. But we already know not everybody's going to get saved. Not all men get saved. So it can't mean that. Look at B. The drawing call of the Holy Spirit is powerful in the salvation and will not fail but be inwardly effectual. Now here's this word "draw." Notice this is going to be very good study for you. some scriptural uses of the word draw. Now, I just read to you two passages that says, no one can come to me lest the Father sent me what? Draws him. There must be this drawing. Jesus said it again. For this reason, I said to you that no one can come to me unless it's been granted from the Father. There has to be this granting from the Father, this drawing to Christ. Now, I looked at the Bible and I traced this word helkuo, which is the word draw there. And I want you to see how it's used in other places of the Bible. And that's going to help you define what Jesus is saying, that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. What are we talking about? Are we talking about wooing? Ooh. Are we talking about I've heard all kinds of how this stuff works. This kind of convicting and kind of this pulling or something, and then the sinner can kind of break away from it. When God starts with the power of the Holy Spirit, begins this effectual call, it results in its desired end, and that's that person's faith and repentance. Let me show you that right here. Here's a passage in John 18:10. This is the word, this is the same word, helkuo. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, what? Helkuo drew it and smote the high priest's servant, cut off his ear. You know what that happened, right? That was the guard against Gethsemane. They came and arrested Jesus. Peter takes his sword. He pulls it out of his sheath. He draws it out of his sheath, and he cuts off Malchus' ear, right? High priest's ear. That's the same word we're getting here. Now, here's a sword sitting in its scabbard, right, all by itself. The sword doesn't jump out of the scabbard by itself and cut off Malcolm's ear. Peter grabs a hold of the sword, pulls the sword out, and then strikes it. A power outside of the sword grabbed the sword and drew it out of the sheath. You see that? Same word. You say, well, that's kind of stretching. Okay, let's look at, see this word, where this word is used again. Look at John 21:11. Here's Simon Peter, and I always think of this. Jesus says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Here's Simon Peter. He cast this net, right? He went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Peter's out there fishing. He takes the net. He casts the net. And oh, then he says he started drawing the net in. Now, when Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, he wasn't talking about taking a little worm and dropping a hook down and seeing if you can get somebody to bite. That's not the terminology. He was talking about casting the gospel net and then drawing them in. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You see that? Now, let me tell you something. The fish, the net did not drag itself into the boat by itself, did it? Peter had to grab a hold in that, and he had to draw that net into the boat. He had to grab a hold of it and draw it into the... You see that? Okay, look at Acts 16:19. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. Same Greek word. They grabbed Paul and Silas and they just dragged them into the marketplace. They grabbed a hold of them and they just dragged them in there. People can be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They can be under the conviction that they're not righteous. They can hear the gospel message and their heart can be melted. And somehow the Holy Spirit brings that gospel message and begins to draw them to Christ. You see this? A power outside of them begins to draw them to Christ. Begins to move them from where they are to someplace else. See that? Here's another verse. Acts 21:30. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, forthwith the doors were shut. They grabbed Paul and they just drew him out of the temple. These are the only places that word is used. As in John 6:44. No man can come to me lest the Father has sent me draw him. That same word, helkuo, is used in these same exact places. It's used nowhere else in the Bible except for there and in these same exact places. And everyone, so if you want to know what that means in John 6:44, you have to see how that same Greek word is used in other passages. And how is it used in all other passages? The sword is pulled out. The sword didn't jump out of its on its own, right? A power outside of the sword had to grab the sword and pull it out of the sheath. They threw the cast net, the net out, and that they pulled the net into the boat. The men were dragged into the marketplace. Paul was dragged out of the temple. James says, "What you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court?" Same word. Now, I want you to know, we're going to see God doesn't drag us against our will, kicking and screaming into the kingdom. I don't want to come. And he grabs us. Somebody said, "Oh, God grabs you by the nape of the neck and just drags you into the kingdom. You come kicking and screaming." No. You come willingly. You come willingly. You come of your own reconnaissance. You come of your own faith and your own repentance. You don't come kicking and screaming. But you would never come unless the power outside of you got a hold of you and begin to draw you to Christ. You see that? And you come, it's like walking with the breeze of the wind. It's like, you know what I'm saying? You come. We're going to look at that. Okay. Let's look at D. The usage of the word draw in these passages reveal that an outside power does the drawing is more powerful than the object being drawn. Would you agree with that? Every place those passages, the power outside of it does the drawing. Okay? Notice these passages now. Hosea 11:4. "I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was with them as those who take the yoke from their neck." You see that? The Lord draws us with cords of love, according to Hosea. You know, when I met my wife, I just kind of drew right to her with cords of love, right? I came willingly, but a power outside of myself got a hold of me and drew me to her. That's what Christ does to the heart when the Holy Spirit takes the gospel and penetrates the heart. It just makes you gaga and want to come. Because he draws you with cords of love. Doesn't draw you kicking and screaming against your will. He draws you with cords of love. Look, notice Psalm 110:3. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." When the power of the Holy Spirit comes with the gospel message and affects the heart, people come willingly. They don't come against their will. They come of their will. You know why? Because now their will is no longer a slave to sin. Their will has been set free from the slavery to sin. It is spiritually alive. And now that the will is spiritually alive and it sees Christ, it comes willingly to Christ. Every person before salvation is like a fish in an aquarium or a horse in a corral. That horse is free to run anywhere he wants in that corral. He can run around freely, but he can't get outside the corral. Every person born in this world with a sin nature freely sins in that corral. They run around, they sin. They can't get outside that sin nature. But when God saves somebody by the power of the Holy Spirit, the gospel, that barrier is broken open, and now they can freely run somewhere else they could never run before. And guess where they run? They run to Christ. Does that make sense? Okay. Ezekiel 36, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them." When God saves a person, he puts his spirit in him. What does he do? He causes them to walk in the statutes. He enables them. He gives them a power they didn't have before. And so, the power to draw the sinner to Christ for salvation therefore includes the gospel call, accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit, to those given to Christ by God the Father from before the foundation of the world. Notice 2 Thessalonians 2:13. "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and faith in the truth." Chose you from the beginning. How did he bring you to salvation? Through sanctification of the Spirit and faith in the truth. So here's the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the Holy Spirit comes and takes and grabs you and sets you aside, sets you apart. So sanctification means. That make sense to you? Now that's what happens to the heart of somebody who gets saved when you share the gospel with them. Okay? You have to give them the true content of the gospel, because that's what the Holy Spirit uses to give them faith and repentance. Otherwise, they cannot be saved. Let me just read the Ephesians, okay? It says, just as he chose us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. Notice John 17. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so they may see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Before God made one speck of dirt, he set this whole plan in motion. Revelation 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. There was a book of life of the Lamb. It was written before the foundation of the world. Should I continue? Okay. Let me read number E to you. All those whom the Father chose to give the Son before the foundation of the world will be effectually drawn to Christ for salvation by hearing of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit by grace through faith, and that not of themselves, it will be a gift of God. Does that statement make sense? Mm-hmm. Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ himself according to the kind intention of his will. Verse 11, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. That's why it's a gift. It's all of grace. Now, number 4, the calling that leads to drawing, that leads to following Christ. This is where the rubber hits the road. You got the general call, then you got the inward call. This ends up, in the end, the person follows Christ. Every chosen, effectually drawn person who hears the shepherd's call is enabled to recognize his voice and repent of their sin and come to Christ and become part of the fold of God. Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10:16, the next page. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. And Jesus is speaking to the Jews. He's referring to the Gentiles. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. And notice what he tells the Jews in the next one. But you do not believe. Why? Because you're not my sheep. My sheep, what? Hear my voice. And when they hear my voice, what do they do? And I know them, and they what? They follow me. You see that? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
He says in John 10:16, I have other sheep which are not
out of this fold. So he's speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to the Jews. And they thought they were the only chosen people of God. And he's saying, no, no. I'm the shepherd and the Jews are my sheep, but I have sheep of other fold. And he's referring to the Gentiles. That means anybody who's not a Jew. Gentile means anybody who's not a Jew. So he said, I'm going to take Jew and Gentile, and they're going to be one fold. And actually, when he birthed the church, that's what you had. You had Jew and Gentile making up the church. That's what he was referring to before his crucifixion. But the key point is there, he said, I'm the shepherd, I have sheep. My sheep hear my voice, I know them. When they hear my voice, they're going to follow me. And he tells the Jews, you don't believe in me because you're not my sheep. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Okay, let's look at B. The specific inward call that draws those chosen in Christ by grace for salvation should have evidence of a transformed life. So somebody says, yeah, I heard the effectual call and I repented and I believed and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, Colossians 3:12 says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, which are all fruit of the Spirit. Bear with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were what? Called. That's that inward call. In one body, and be thankful. So people who experience salvation manifests the fruit of the Spirit. to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Now, we don't manifest those things all the time as we should, but they're there. They're there. Okay? Well, let me move to the last point. Some scriptural passages that can and should be concluded from the result, the how, and the kind of calling that make up the called. Notice what 2 Peter says. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you should never fail. Make your calling and election sure. Make sure that that was a true inward call and you were part of the elect. You see that? Make your calling and election sure. How do you do that? Well, you got to look back and see if there's any manifestation of that activity of God. There has to be a result of a transformed life. You can't say, God saved me, regenerated me, gave me a new spirit, put his spirit within me, caused me to walk in the statutes, put the love of Christ in me, gave me the fruit of the spirit, and then manifest none of that. And live as if there was not one change in your life. That's a contradiction of terms, right? The effectual call is the effectual. It has an effect. It has a desired end. Faith and repentance, right? And that faith continues and repentance continues. We're done. We just got three verses. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath what? Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then Revelation 17:4. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are what? Called and chosen and faithful. It's just everywhere, folks, in the Bible. And you need to know that when you share the gospel and you give that general audible call, pray that the Holy Spirit brings that to bear upon their heart and begins to draw them to Christ with that powerful call, a power outside them, draws them with cords of love and bursts them into the kingdom. That's what's going on behind the scenes that you never see. And you need to know that. That's what happened to you when you got saved. That's what happened to you. You didn't know it. But you know it now. And does it make you more thankful for your salvation, more appreciative? Saying, thank you, God, for doing what I could never do on my own? Amen?